Welcome everyone to the gathering. We're going to jump into our lesson tonight, and before we do, I would like to open with prayer. Father, thank you so much for this group of people, Lord, for each and every one that you've brought tonight. Father, I thank you that you've drawn each one of us here tonight for your kingdom purposes. And so I ask that you touch hearts and change lives, that God, we all have, Lord, even me, Father, as I'm teaching, Lord, those aha moments with you. And I thank you that you want to be a part of every part of our life. And I ask God to just that you would unravel any lies that any of us have believed about you, about our identity. Lord, that you would mold us and shape us to be more like you so that we can go share the good news of who you are and who you've been in our lives. Ask that you bless each home here, each business, each family represented, and open our eyes to see you and our ears to hear your Holy Spirit speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we are going to talk about living out of our value instead of our needs. And we're going to talk about how God, who God is, a little bit about that, but how he sees us. And then we're going to talk about our God-given needs and how to get those met in an appropriate way. And you might say, well, why did you choose this? Well, one of the topics, and I believe each time at the gathering, each session, I have taught a little bit on identity because it was such a big part of me understanding my walk and journey with God and who I was. Part of my story is I became a Christian when I was 10 years old as a little girl in Sunday school class. And I jumped in with both feet. I remember going to Sunday school and my teacher saying, talked about a relationship with God. And she said, is there anybody here that wants to do that? And I said, I do, but I think I'll come back next week and do it. I wanted to think about it. And that's exactly what I did. I went home. I thought about it. I talked to my parents. And that's when I got saved. And I journeyed on, had fabulous parents, grew up in church. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I really had an encounter, I would say, with the Lord in truly understanding who he was as God the Father. I just thought, well, he's this creator of the universe, and I knew Jesus as my Savior. I'd seen the power of the Holy Spirit and had had that in my life, but it was understanding the love of the Father that I would say transformed me, and that's right at the time I began to understand my identity. I had gotten my identity in the wrong things. So I think it's critical, and I think that it is time that we're living in a day and age where time is getting short. And one time I had a dream, and in my dream, the Lord had begun to show me who I was. I was beginning to walk with him in a little bit different way because I was understanding my value and my worth. And in this dream, there were all these people, and they were sitting around a table. And they all had their heads down, like they were taking a nap. And I was going from person to person, and I was saying, wake up, you've got to wake up. You've got to discover who you are. Wake up. I was going around to every person on that table, trying to wake them up. And that morning when I got up, and I'm not a dreamer, I'm really not. If I have a dream, I really ask God, what does this mean? Because that's just not how I normally operate. And I felt like the Lord showed me as he said, I'm calling you to wake up my people. I'm calling you to wake people up to their value and how I see them. I'm calling you to that. And I was like, well, I barely even know that. So why on earth would you call me? But he did, and he's walked me step by step. And That's been 30 years ago, and you can do the math and figure out how old I am. But I'm really passionate about helping people discover who they are in the eyes of Christ. And you know, I'm not the only one. Peter had an aha moment with God too. If you look in Matthew 16, verse 13 through 15, and Jesus is sitting there with his disciples, and you know, he had been with them, he had been breaking bread with them, and Jesus asked a question, "Who do you say I am?" And, you know, if you read in the passage, you know, one said one thing, one said another thing, and then Peter blurted out. It was like he had that aha moment. He said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And right then and there, his eyes were opened to who was in his midst and who was he was getting to be with. And that's my prayer for each of you tonight, is that you begin to see how God wants to be a part of every day in your life and how precious you are to him. Identity is so important, because when you live out of your value and remember who you are in God's eyes, instead of living out of your needs, you change the world around you. Now, if you're following along in the notes, that's one of the fill in the blanks. And I'll try to alert you to those. I'm going to say that again. When you live out of your value and remember who you are in God's eyes, instead of your need, you change the world around you. You see, our value and identity must be rooted in what God says, because how we see ourselves governs many things in our life, from our job, to our interactions at home, to ministry, to relationship, other relationships and friendships. For years, I had gotten my identity as I was always looking to be some, you know, who am I? I didn't have a clue. I remember going to something in my 30s and somebody said, you know, well, who are you? And I was like, I didn't know. I really didn't know, because I had gotten my identity in being a wife, in being a mother, and in my job. I couldn't wait. When I got married, I could not wait. I thought, I'm going to be somebody, because I'm going to be. And back then, and some of you will recognize, you know, you went by your husband's name. I was Mrs. Joe Maxwell. That was my late husband's name. And I got my identity in being a wife. And that worked for a little while, you know, and then the honeymoon's over and life sets in, you know. And I thought, okay, when I'm a mother, I got my identity in being a mother, and I have three children, and that quickly wore me out. I got my identity in my occupation. I owned a gymnastics school, and I remember when I sold the business, I looked at my husband and I said, "Who am I now? Everybody calls me Miss Kathleen, gymnastics, etc." And I had gotten my identity in all the wrong things. And one day, not long after that, the Lord just showed me. He said, "You can't get your identity in those things, because they can all be gone." And little did I know what exactly that meant. I had sold my name to somebody else, my business. I knew my kids would grow up and leave home, but, you know, we were in the midst of laundry and food and, you know, baseball and all that kind of stuff. And so it didn't look like there was an end in sight. But the kids did grow up. And then right after my youngest left for college, about 4 or 5 months after that, my late husband was diagnosed with a rare cancer and was gone in 9 months. And my life suddenly shifted. God wants us to get our identity in who he says we are and see our value from his perspective. Because when we do, our heart's at rest, and you'll be happy with how God made you. For so many years, I tried to be somebody else that I was never going to be because I didn't understand how uniquely God made me. And so I was always trying to be like somebody else. And when the Lord finally showed me, He said, I've made you, to be bold, to be strong, to be full of love and grace and kindness. And He began to show me His plans. It was like, oh, I don't have to be like this person or this person or this person. I can't say enough about identity. And if you want to hear some other podcasts that are about that, you might jot these down in the little notes section. That's the top part on your paper that says notes, is for you to fill in with anything. But some of the podcasts are Wake Up to Who You Are, Understanding Our Value and Worth, and Living Out of the New You. We have to be a people that is grounded in the affection of God. And what I mean with that, if you look in the Bible, God was talking, Jesus and His Father talked often. They had relationship. They shared things. And Jesus was a man that was well grounded in His Father's affection for Him. So my question to you tonight is, how grounded are you in God's affection for you? Some of you are like me, some of you sitting here tonight, that you've been victims of identity theft. And what I mean by that is God wants to heal those areas and restore your dignity and open your eyes to your value. Bad things can happen to good people. And if you don't believe me, read the Bible. Joseph, for one, Joseph was a man that was rejected by his family, falsely accused, thrown into prison, but he also became an awesome ruler because even in that prison, he had an understanding of who he was in Christ, and he had an understanding of the priestly role that he was going to carry and what God was calling him to. So it doesn't matter if those things have happened to you, if those things have happened in your life, God can redeem, and those can be your stepping stones to rise up in the power and in the dignity of a God who dearly loves you. Jesus was the same way. Jesus was misunderstood, abused, rejected by His own people, and suffered, but He still was the Savior and the King. This is one of your fill in the blanks. Don't let what you've been through, trauma, abuse, rejection, disappointments, tragedy, or mistakes, don't let those things define you. That is something you've been through, unfortunately. But it doesn't have to define who you really are. We need 2020 vision of our identity. And this is 2020 because our identity governs how we think about ourselves, and then our thinking determines our actions. So who are you in God's eyes? Well, I'm going to tell you just some of the things I've discovered. You are priceless. You are a masterpiece. Doesn't matter what you look like in the mirror, God looks at your inner beauty. You're radiant. You're dearly loved. You're royalty. You are His friend and His treasured. He sees your potential. He believes in you. You are worthy of His love and the great price that He paid. I'm going to say that again because I think those words need to wash over us. You're priceless. a masterpiece. You're radiant. You're loved. You're royalty. You're his friend. And you're his treasure. That's what he says about you. And you're worthy. Oftentimes we have a hard time accepting what God says about us because we look at our own imperfections, failures, and struggles. We look at our struggle with sin. We look at the dumb mistakes we've made. And we say, how could a holy God want anything to do with me? I don't feel worthy. You know, feelings of unworthiness, those feelings come. And our feelings can lie to us. They really can. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, I'll ask any husband here and I'll ask any woman here, PMS. I mean, you know, there are times when, you know, things are out of control. You feel like something's a big issue. And then the next week you're like, that's no big deal. Some of you men have suffered through that. I know you have. Yes, I put one through it. But our value and our worth is based simply on God's sacrifice and his grace and his love and his mercy. See, he looks at us and he says, that's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, yeah, her, she's precious to me. I really love her. Yeah, I know she made some mistakes. I know she messed up. But I just want to pick her up and I want her to get back in the race again. That's my heart. That's the heart of a God that loves us dearly. What happens is we've had past hurts in our life. We've had someone tell us we're good for nothing. You don't deserve anything good. And those are rooted in lies. See, the enemy comes and he tries to get us to believe lies. Lies about ourselves. He uses people to tell us lies about ourselves too. But the truth is, and this is something else he's given us, he's given us a crown. One of the first things when God began to show me my identity is he took me to Psalm 8. And I've got this still highlighted in my Bible and a little crown drawn. It says that scripture, I read this one morning, and it says, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. And that morning when I wrote down that verse in my journal, and God said, I've given you a crown, but you don't wear it. And I had to nod my head and say, you're right. And the Lord said, I've given you a crown. I've crowned you my daughter, my child. You're a child of the Most High God, and I'm king. So that makes you my princess. And I know that there's a lot out there now about the princess stuff and everything, but I'm telling you, there's something there. I love it because I think it's God trying to restore dignity and value to his people that have been trampled by disappointments, life hurts, and circumstances. Tonight, God wants to heal and touch those areas of your life, just like he did in my own heart. And understanding how he feels for us is so important. And there's going to be some questions for you to process on that. You see, God has made us a people that I believe we have three basic God-given needs in our life. And at the core of each of us, it's the way he made us. But he never intended for us to get those needs met in people or in things. Because guess what? People can disappoint you. And has anybody here ever had a disappointment in their life? Somebody's let you down? These three areas are, number one, to belong, and you can put that by number one on your paper. We have a God-given need to belong. We have a God-given need to be significant and to be loved. Loved is number three. But we must be a people that live out of our value, what God says about us, and not our needs. And I saw in my own life where I was looking to get these needs met. And goodness, I'd have to really do the math. It was probably, it was 30 years ago, around 30 years ago. We had somebody come to our church, and this man was from another country. And he was praying for us. And he had my late husband and I stand up. And he said, I'll never forget it, because it began the journey of understanding the love of the Father for me. He said, honey, God loves you so much. He brought me all the way across the ocean to tell you how much he loves you. And then he turned to my late husband and he said, God loves her so much. And sometimes you just don't know how to show it. You say the right thing at the wrong time and the wrong thing at the right time. Something along those lines. And he said, Lord, just give this man wisdom. And in that, what God showed me is, and God began to work on me, and he began to work on my late husband too at the same time. But he began to work on me in understanding and trusting God as my Father. Because at that time, I was looking to people to meet those three God-given needs. And here's some great news. Philippians 4:19. And you may say, you know, I've looked to people too. But what are you talking about? Well, God right here in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's an awesome promise. And, you know, I'd always seen that as God meeting needs, financial needs, needs that we have in everyday life, the electric bill, the grocery bill, those kinds of things. And God showed me one day, he said, no, that's emotional needs too. Some of you are in some hard spots and you're living with maybe a spouse that isn't very kind to you. And God wants to meet those emotional needs that you have. Some of you are widowed. And I know what that's like, to not have somebody to go home to meet those needs that you have. And God tells us right here, he says, I'll supply all of your needs. Come to me, run to me, seek me, know me, walk with me each and every day. See, you and I have choices. We can choose where we want to shop, where we're going to get groceries. We can go to Walmart, we can go to HEB, we can go to Mini-Mart. We have choices, and it's the same thing. We can go to people, we can go to things, we can go to organizations, to try to belong, to try to be loved, to try to be significant. But those things can let us down. Sometimes they're great, but they can also let us down and sometimes can cause some of the greatest damage in our life too. So running to God is where we have to go in processing that. But what happens to people that look to other things in the area of belonging to get their needs met? You know, people want to be a part of something. They want to be part of a group. They want to fit in. They want to be a member of something. I mean, look at how we've kind of set up things just in our society. Sorority, the mafia, gangs, sports. I mean, there's a lot going on right now with the Super Bowl, and there's some people that, man, they're getting their identity in the teams that are coming up. I mean, they're getting their identity. I mean, some of the, I was having physical therapy right now, and I could hear all the chatter, you know, in the room the other day, because we all kind of do our stuff together, about, you know, the teams, and man, I'm a Kansas City Chief, and man, this, and I mean, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, we watch sports all the time, and but I see people trying to get their identity in that. Political parties, that's another thing. We're not even going to touch that tonight, okay? We're not going to do that. But people getting their identity, they're just looking to belong to something, to fit in, to be a member of something. And you know what can happen sometimes is that can lead us to be around people that are not the best for us at all times. You know, I saw even a shift in our family. I remarried 7 years ago, and my husband Stephen, he snuck in there in the back. We have 5 kids between us. And, you know, after we got married, for both of our kids, I have 2 stepchildren, I saw all the kids kind of like, okay, there's a shift in the family, so where do we belong? You know, it was like just a shift, because all of a sudden there was this new entity. And I could see in them, you know, just it was just a little everybody trying to figure out how they fit in that. And so getting our needs met in belonging, in going to God to get those met, let's look at what that looks like. See, God designed us to belong because he wanted relationship with us. He wants us connected to him, and he wants us connected to other believers, because we need each other. I need my friends. I'm very grateful for my friends that have been with me in the hard things and been with me in the good things. And God designed it this way. If you don't believe me, look in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, and that's when the Lord's Prayer, it's a familiar passage for some of you, but he says, Jesus let's look at that in Matthew 9, and we're not going to read the whole thing. Matthew 9, and, I'm 6. I'm sorry, I said 6. I'm saying 9. It's 6:9. I've got it written wrong, and I'm reading it wrong. There we go. And Jesus began to pray, and he said, "Our Father." I want you to think about that. He said, "Our Father." He was teaching them how to pray. He didn't say, "My Father. You should get to know him." He said, "Our Father." Right there, it shows right there that when you begin a relationship with Christ, that you're part of a family. That's what it looks like to get that need met in the right way. See, when you invite Christ into your heart and say, "Oh, wait a minute, I realize that I need a Savior. I need someone to forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge Christ died on the cross for me." That begins a relationship. And then guess what? He calls us dear children. 1 John 4 and verse 4. If you look in that passage, he says, "You dear children." Do you see that? He calls us dear children. You know, we've got 6 grandkids and 1 on the way. And I'm telling you, those little ones, and they're ages 6, we've had 1 a year for 7 years. I don't know how long that's going to continue, but anyway, the family dynamics have just, they're a little noisier now. But they're the most precious kids. I just look at them, and they're just so adorable. And do you know that that's how God looks at you, and he looks at me? And he calls us chosen. You belong. You've been chosen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9, if you have your Bible. And it says right there, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's what he says about you. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're chosen. You're royal. You're a special possession to the Lord. That's what he has to say about you. And then in Psalm 27, verse 10, I love this scripture. It says, when father and mother forsake you, I will take you up. It says, my father and mother abandoned me. I'm like an orphan. But you took me in and made me yours. You belong. And that's the Passion Translation. And I love that. I love that because it says, you belong. You took me in and made me yours. And again, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:8, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. You belong to a family. He calls us his children. And I want you to know you belong, and you can get your identity from your heavenly father. Maybe your earthly father wasn't there for you. Maybe he wasn't a good example of a loving, tender daddy to you. And if that's true, God promises that he'll fill in that gap if you'll go to him. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You belong. You belong. You've got a family. You've got a family, and God wants to be a father to you. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, how great is the love of the Father that he lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And that is what we are. You know, what happened to me in my life is I had seen those scriptures, I had read those scriptures, and I had head knowledge. I had a lot of head knowledge, I could quote a lot of things, but I needed it to drop about a foot into my heart to where I knew it in my innermost being, that it didn't matter what happened in life, I was grounded in the love of a father that would never leave me. Because part of my story is I lost my late husband, and not long after that, I lost my mom and my dad. And so the three people in my life that had loved me the longest and had been there were suddenly gone. So who was I going to get my needs met with? Significance. You know, when we try to be somebody, when we try to get our significant need met in people or things, this manifests as people trying to prove to people and mostly themselves they are important. Sometimes it can come across as shocking people or being performance-oriented, people-pleasing, workaholic. And on the other side of that is low self-esteem. Or maybe trying to talk about, you know, who they know and who their friends are, trying to get an identity in other people because there's something God wants to fill in themselves. You know, perhaps your dad was in jail and he wasn't there. Perhaps your mom worked all the time and there wasn't anybody to make you feel significant in your life. Maybe your needs aren't being met by your spouse at home, or you don't have one. You know, oftentimes when our needs aren't getting met at home, the enemy's so crafty because he can set up situations to where that coworker at work starts telling you how pretty you are. That friend around starts complimenting you, telling you what they love. And all of a sudden, we can start getting our emotional needs met in someone else. And that's how emotional affairs start. And then oftentimes, affairs begin. Tonight, God wants to show you how significant you are to Him and wants you to get that need met in Him. Significant means sufficiently great or important to be worthy of attention. And I began to discover that I really am significant. And I want you to discover how really significant you are too. I'm an ordinary girl. I grew up here in Kerrville. I don't have the highest education. I'm really pretty ordinary as they come. I really am. And as God shows you your value and worth, I'm telling you, it can change your countenance. When the Lord began to show me that I had a crown and I wasn't wearing it, at that time I was teaching at KISD, and I remember Him saying, I want you to understand your significance as my daughter, and I want you to practice wearing your crown. I want you to walk like you're wearing a crown. And I'm telling you, when God began to show me that, my head went from being down here to holding it up, to walking with a little more authority, to walking as someone special and significant to Him. It's a dark world out there, and God wants you to get your need met to be significant, that God-given need in Him, because God is light, and in Him is no darkness, and He's called you, and He's called me to be His light to those around you, to be His light to those at the gym, to be His light as you're going through the grocery store, to be His light to the person at the gas station. And Jesus said in John 9:5, I am in the world, and I am the light of the world. And He's called you and me to be His representative. You are significant, and your life matters to those around you. It really does. And God tells us in 1 Peter, and we've already read this, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. It doesn't matter where you go, you're His representative. I was working at the, sometimes I take my computer just to get out of the house, and when I'm working on a lesson or something, writing, I went down to the little tea shop here, and I'm just there working away, and this woman came in, and I knew her, and I reached out and gave her a hug, and we started talking. And all of a sudden, she began to share what was going on in her life. And her husband had just recently been diagnosed with cancer. So I knew those feelings. I knew what that was like. I could see what was going on in her eyes. And I just looked at her right there in the tea shop. I said, is it okay if I just put my hand on your shoulder and pray for you? I'm not going to bow my head, make a scene. And she said, oh, would you please? And so I stopped then and there, and just prayed for this woman and for what she was going through and for her husband. And I got a message from her the other day, and she said, thank you so much. That was a divine appointment. I needed that. And God wants to use you to affect the people that you're around wherever you go. Remember your crown, because when you do, and you show up as the daughter of a king, the son of a king, as you show up as a representative, you have an opportunity to change the world around you. To be loved. So we've all heard the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Y'all have heard the country western song. That's what happens. So many of us look for love in all the wrong places. They look for it in your husband or your wife, your kids, your friends. And what happens is people can reject us. Has anybody ever experienced rejection? I know I have in my life. And the Lord wants to take those feelings and that spirit of rejection that can come against us And he wants to, God wants to erase those lies that's spoken to us and to our hearts. When we live out of our God-given value and know we're loved by God the Father, we begin to see ourselves as something of value and worth and something of importance. So it's so important to get that need met in God. You know, I remember as a young woman and trying to be secure in my motherhood and being a wife and those things. And I remember in the church I went to, I was just trying to fit in. And, you know, I would hear about a couple of girls getting together or couples getting together and having dinner or whatever, and I'd get my feelings hurt. Well, why wasn't I invited? Well, why didn't they include me? And God showed me, he said, you're looking to them to meet that need. And, you know, the enemy wants our feelings hurt all the time. That's not what God wants. He wants us to be strong and secure. And when God began to show me that, I could rejoice if somebody else went to get dinner together or got together and I wasn't included. It was okay because I knew that there was a specific design for my life and for their life. When we get our needs met in God, it's kind of like a husband and wife. You know, my husband, he can reach out and take my hand and hold my hand, and I love that because I'm one of my love languages is touch. But I have a choice. I can either hold his hand too, or I can pull it away. And it's that same way in our relationship with the Lord. He holds his hand out. He wants you to belong. He wants to help you feel significant. He wants you to feel loved. And he reaches out his hand. And you and I have an opportunity each day to partner with him and to hold his hand and to walk with him throughout the day. Song of Solomon is a picture of God's intense love for us. And it's also a picture of what our marriage should look like. And the Shulamite is talking, and she says in Solomon 1:5, she says, I'm so unworthy. I'm so in need. And the shepherd king responds, yet you're so lovely. You know, he comes right back to her, and he deposits in her value. But I see you as pretty. I see you as valuable. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. 1 John 4 verse 10 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. When we enter into relationship with Christ, we can begin to understand how much he adores us. His love is unconditional. It's not predicated on if we do right and wrong. And he's not a God that's standing there with a hammer ready to smash our fingers when we do wrong. That's not who he is. He's a God that is forgiving and gracious and kind. That's who he really is. And so my question to you tonight is, have you crossed that bridge and entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you haven't, tonight's a great night. And I'd love to pray with you, or the team would love to pray with you. It's the beginning of a relationship. God actually doesn't just love you, he likes you. He likes you too. You know, there's a difference in being loved and liked. And our love as believers should be unconditional to those around us. We may not like their behavior, but you can hate the sin and love the sinner. And that's what God has called us to do, because guess what? That's what he does with us. That's what he does with us. He keeps drawing us and drawing us. How many of you can say, the Lord has been kind and He's been gracious to me in my life? I am here by the grace and mercy of God. That's all of us. And, you know, the enemy is so crafty. Sometimes we may not have gotten the nurturing that we needed from our family. And God wants to fill that need. He wants to fill that need in our hearts, because as we open our hearts to that love, then we're able to give that love away. You know, for so long in my life, I think I told this story before, but when the Lord began to show me that He wanted to be a daddy to me, I had these thick walls around my life, and I didn't really know it. I just knew they were there. I didn't know what to call them. But there had been hurt and things that had happened in my life that caused me to erect these walls to protect myself. And they did. But they also kept love out. And they also kept people at a distance. And God, in His mercy, began slowly taking those walls down. And it opened me up. And during that time, there was a woman at church, and she would come up to me, and oh my goodness, she would wrap her arms around me and give me one of these bear hugs and just kind of do this number, you know, and hugging me, and I could just feel myself. I would just bristle. It had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with me. I was just afraid those walls might come down, and oh my gosh, I might get hurt more. And when God showed me that, I went up to her one day because she worked in a store here, and I said, when you hug me, I know it's hard for me to hug you back, but I want you to know it's not because I don't love you. It's because God's just doing something in my heart. Those were the only words I could use to identify what was going on. And I would purposely stop by there to get one of those hugs, because I knew I needed it. I knew I needed to learn to receive love. And now, if you're around me very long, you'll probably get a hug, because that's who I am. Do you see how when we can understand God's love for us, then we can give it away? We have no barriers there to give away His love to those around us. One of my mantras is to know the Father's love and give it away. To look for people every day I can give His love to in some way. And so tonight as we close, I want to read something I found recently in a little devotional someone gave to me. This is from it's called The Divine Romance. And I want you to just let these words wash over you. And then I'm going to just begin to pray and close us in prayer. Let me see real quick. It says, if you'll just close your eyes. Even when we're confronted by our sin and weakness, Jesus calls us lovely. He doesn't point an accusing finger or constantly bash us because we aren't perfect. He opens His arms, pulls us close, tells us how beautiful we are. He exchanges our imperfection for His perfection. His love for us will conquer our fear and unbelief, healing every wound that has crippled us and left us feeling ugly. The Lord speaks to our identity and opens our eyes so we can embrace ourselves. Receive these words into your heart today. You are beautiful. You are anointed. God Himself has a purpose for your life. Favor and wisdom are yours. The joy of the Lord is your portion. Righteousness and peace have kissed your soul. Father, I thank you for this time together. And I thank you for your great, great love for us. I pray for each one listening and each one here, Father, that we would have those aha moments and see you as you really are and see your affection and hear you say, "That's my girl, that's my boy. I just love him so much." Father, I pray that, Lord, we would all turn to you to meet our needs. And Father, where things have happened and there have been disappointments and hurt, I ask that you heal those places, and I ask that you restore dignity and value. And I ask that you bless each one listening. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.